This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
11 o'clock hour. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. 15 minutes away from the trash of the day. Maybe we'll get back into the restaurant conversation in the 1 o'clock hour when Rob Collins joins us. My guess is he's been to a nice restaurant or two at some point in his life. We'll get his perspective.
He's a picky eater, though. I don't know if he wants to spend...
He likes steak, though.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
But does he want to spend good money on a steak?
Well, I don't know. Yesterday that we said Rob might not eat. That's what it was.
We are going to do a chip draft later on.
How many push-ups do you think Rob Collins could do?
More than everybody in this room.
Straight? Combined?
Yes.
Oh, over the
course. Damn, I think we could get him combined. Come on.
Over the course of a minute or
like until you can't, like, you know, push up anymore.
If it's good form, at least 50.
I don't think you're giving Rob enough credit if it's not good. I mean, he's going to have good form.
We'll see.
You and I? No, me and you, Gold? Not so much.
So we'll find out. We'll talk to Rob Collins about that. Don't forget, this coming Thursday, we'll be at the Landing in Liberty. Hope to see you guys there for our NFL draft party. Looking forward to that. Bink and Chris, Uno, Sarah are going to be broadcasting live. Your chance to win $965 plus a Juwan Taylor autographed helmet. Let's talk some Chiefs football before we get to this outrageous list from a woman trying to get dates. It's crazy. Absolutely insane. Maybe you guys don't think it is. I think it is. So we'll get to that in a bit. But we were discussing the wide receivers and the skill position players and how much draft capital they spent on wide receivers since Mahomes got his 10-year contract after the 2020 into the 2021 season, I should say. And knowing that there's still a chance that a suspension happens for Rashee Rice, even though Nate Taylor was kind of talking with us yesterday, like, hey, there's a chance maybe this thing ends up getting knocked down. As time goes on, it's like a 2-game suspension instead of a 6 or a 4 instead of a 6 or something like that. Who, in the early look between Rice and Worthy, who do you actually think ends up with the better year? Because I think we all remember how the first 3.5 games were looking, or 3.25 games were looking.
Rice looked like he was going to be a 1,400-yard wide receiver.
I feel like the simple answer right this second, it's Rashee Rice. As great as Worthy's final, you know, fourth quarter in the Super Bowl looked, the guy also had 5 yards until then. Worthy is going to be a stud for this franchise for a while, but for next year, just a pure yardage game, not touchdowns or anything else, just pure who's going to have 1,250, who could have 1,000, who could have 800, whatever. Rice will have more receiving yards than Worthy next year.
Is it? So
he's going to get more targets too.
I thought the obvious answer, like my initial thought, the obvious answer was Rashee Rice as well. But then I was starting to factor in, hey, you know, there could be a small suspension, and we don't know. Like, Nate Taylor certainly talking me into, like, maybe it's only a 2-gamer this year, and it's not the significant time we thought. He's still coming off a serious injury. And while it took Xavier Worthy longer to get up to speed than it did Rashee Rice in his rookie year, so, like, Rashee Rice was a more effective rookie year player, I'm actually starting to lean towards Worthy.
Really?
I
think... You just need to connect on a bunch of the deep passes?
Yeah. I think the deep passing game part of it is there. And when I started to go through his, like, end of the year run, he had started turning into a 70-yard game per guy. He was like a 80, 90-yard game per guy in the postseason. Now, of course, that 157 and two touchdowns he had in the Super Bowl were an absolute massacre. So obviously those are not garbage time because they weren't all in garbage time, but effectively garbage time yardage out of there. I think it's going to be close. The way I'm starting to view this offense is that if you made me, and I'm sure we will as we get closer to the regular season, start ranking them out, I think it might be like 1,100, 1,900 between Kelce, Worthy, and Rice, and that this is going to be kind of a sweat. And the factoring difference is going to be how healthy is Rashee Rice and how is he feeling for those first couple of weeks? Does he take on a little bit of a suspension? And what level they use Travis versus previous years? I actually think all three of those guys are going to be really close. And I'm not saying I'm like fully in and I'm just like promising you right now. I kind of want to see more as the offseason progresses. But part of the reason I wanted this question asked is I'm starting to lean towards it might be Xavier Worthy. And that's coming off of, as you know, I was pretty bullish on Rashee Rice going into
that's
the year.
That's what I'm, that's what and I it think it's interesting.
And it definitely looked like he was going to blow up. I'm not there yet. I probably wouldn't take the leap. But I think those guys are going to be a little bit closer. The suspension coming off the injury concerns me a little, I guess.
The health thing is fair. I would say that every indication so far has been that he's ahead of schedule on the rehab for the knee injury. And as we know, the ACL injury is not nearly as devastating as it once was. Like plenty of guys now come back, especially if they're young and they're not 34 years old trying to come back from an ACL. If they're in their young, low 20s, early 20s, I should say, usually they bounce back pretty quickly. And we know what he was doing. He obviously has a good grasp of the offense, all of that. The question for him will be, are we talking about losing two games, four games, or six games, or none? And look, if he's out for six games, well, then Worthy's
the easy. Well, then your answer or Kelce, right? Or, like if I tossed him into the question mark.
Maybe so. But it's interesting. We'll revisit, as you said, I'm sure, numerous times before we get to the start of the season. But it is kind of interesting to look at how maybe we perceive it. You know, Worthy had the only positive thing going in the Super Bowl, but that happened, I'll call it in garbage time of the fourth quarter. Now, there were still starters on the field for the Eagles. I don't want to act like it was their fourth string, or I mean third string that was out there or something, but it was in garbage time, and then he racked up and ended up having historically great receiving day in the Super Bowl, right? Didn't he break a record?
156 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, it
ended up being one of the better receiving for a rookie. I'm sorry. I think it was a, rookie receiving record, Super Bowl record.
I was like, that's probably not the Super Bowl record, rookie, 156 yards, receiving. But yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's,
I saw an Instagram post. I'm sure you did too. Worthy, Nico Remigio,
Sky
Moore, Pacheco, Elijah Mitchell. We're all down in, or at Camp Pat right now, an early version of Camp Pat, getting some work in down there. If you guys were, maybe Justin Ross. Maybe I saw Justin Ross.
I think so. A lot of the same names, you know?
Sure.
Who's going to be the camp darling this year? We had Luis Reese Zamet last year.
Well, let's find out who the out who the undrafted kid is they bring in, or who has a 6th-round pick or something like that. That's your answer. I mean, if Justin Ross is hanging around, people will still name
him. In fairness, every once in a while it works out. I'll tell you right now, Trey Smith was one of the talked about players at camp one year. He was like the big storyline. Oh man, he's gonna beat out the vet. He's gonna beat out LDT. Who knows?
Usually, camp darlings are skill position guys, though. Typically, but I hear you.
Yeah, it's the Dresslers, the Reese Zamets. Carson Steele was last year's camp darling. Typically, I agree with you. It is usually the guys who can catch a football. In previous years, it's probably been Justin Ross,
it's probably gonna be the rookie running back, whoever they draft. Let's be real. It's probably gonna be the rookie running back with a ton of speed that everybody just is enamored with. That's probably the answer to the question. Whoever that is, whether it's Samson, whether it's one of your guys, who knows?
Yeah, I guess we're all trying to figure out. Do you have a backup, by the way? Samson or nobody, or do you have have you developed a secondary crush yet? Or are you still working on
Samson's
that?
Samson's the number one running back that I think is realistic, I guess, also, right? We all would want Ashton Jenny, but the number one running back that is realistic. I think Samson, I don't hate the Travion Henderson idea. If I went further down, then I would probably take one of the local running backs, and I would say I would take Devin Neal or Giddens, and Giddens might be a better fit for the Chiefs. But that's where I would probably go. I think it's interesting. I saw there was quotes out of Denver today, because much like the Chiefs, the Broncos had a media availability around the draft. And Sean Payton was quoted today, I think, saying how much that they love the running back class. They expect to be able to find a running back. So everybody's saying the same thing. So that's the only thing to keep. Like, as much as we say how deep it is and great, and the Chiefs are going to draft one, so is everybody, it feels like.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a bunch of teams who can use running back. It's also, I think, running backs have come back. I think some teams are going to talk themselves into it because of the way it worked for Saquon Barkley. It's a mistake, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't value them any more or less than you did 3 years ago just because, Saquon Barkley, a once-in-a-generation level of running back? helped carry a team to Super Bowl. By the way, they also had a pretty good quarterback and an elite level defense. So like, it's not like,
well, there's just a lot of talent in the draft too. More than even it's like, oh, we now running backs are the end thing again. I think it's some of that for
Everyone
sure.
Everyone thinks they can get their guy.
Everybody's looking at the draft class and saying, man, there's just a ton of talent here compared to a year ago, maybe in the draft class.
I've seen a couple of texts come in, so I'll continue to remind you. If you're looking to go on the Cody and Gold road trip, 96.5thefan.com will get you your ticket needs. You'll see a link right there on the homepage that'll direct you to our $10 ticket deal. We're going to go watch CAG Saturday, May 3rd at Hammonds Field. We're going to meet at Harbell's Bar before the game to hand out CAG's t-shirts. If you purchase one in advance, we will send you that link separately if you have purchased tickets. I've seen a few people text and say, hey, I purchased tickets. Where can I get the thing? I will let you know. We are up to, and 91. I believe,
ooh, plus man. Us, 95.
So us, 90. So 95 people right now. Going down to watch Kex. Can we get to 200? Let's just see how many people we can sit in the stands. We're all sitting right behind, in case you didn't know where our seats are. We got the section set up right behind the third base dugout. You can imagine that that's where CAGs will be.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, we're going to get noticed. We want as many people in those CAG shirts, but those are an optional purchase. That is not something you have to do to attend the game with us.
Yeah, people are asking where the four of us are sitting. Dusty's coming down with us. Well, Section J. And if you go to our ticket link, it directs you right to Section J or K.
Everyone's going
to
be in one of those two, three sections. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all going to, and it's a minor league park. Don't think about this like, am I going to be sitting on the opposite end of the universe of you guys? No, we're all going to be in the same area.
All right, I want to get to this outrageous list. So, yesterday, New York Post put out an article about dating, and there's this is not a fake thing, it's a real thing. It's in their category of I don't know if you frequent the New York Post sex and relationships column very often, Cody, but that's where
they
this
have
one
a column for that
says it's under the category of sex and relationships.
Oh, yep. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Single slammed over outrageous list, as she should be. So
single for a reason. Is that what I'm about to find out? Okay.
So
let me hear it.
She is a part-time personal trainer that makes less than $10,000 a year. That's relevant for this conversation. Okay.
Okay. So
it's relevant.
So she's not contributing to the finances of this relationship.
Was texting. Someone screenshotted the conversation and he texts her and says, I just read your profile. Tell me about the checklist. She responded with the cryptic, want to see it. He goes, of course I do. She sends a PDF.
PDF?
A screenshot, but it might as well have been
PDF.
It's 18 non-negotiables. Now, some of these are understandable.
It says it was titled Bare Minimum for a Husband. Yes. Like, this is like
Bare Minimum for
this
her
is
husband.
Like you're barely meeting her standards. Mm-hmm. This
Bare Minimum for a Husband. Some of these are understandable. Others are outrageous. So number one, loves me deeply, puts me first. Okay, we've heard that before. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, just as long as you don't have kids.
Yeah,
sure.
Next one is where it starts to get crazy. Financially successful, $300,000 a year.
Oh, I didn't know that part. Okay, so financially successful.
Yeah, you want someone that's financially
stable.
Someone
who's got their, like, you know, their life together. Okay.
$300,000 or more a year, which someone did the math on or did the research on it, said that's only like 2.3% of all men in the United States. So you're already really narrowing.
It's that high?
2.3%.
What the hell am I doing wrong? I'm just going to be honest with you guys.
Well, you're married. You're fine.
I'm not making $300,000 a year.
You're not? Wow. You got to get negotiating.
So, list two, and I'm already off.
Generous and spoils me. Okay.
I make $300,000, I guess that's not a problem.
But even if it was, like, that's fine. You've heard that before. I've heard that before, at least, right? Sophisticated, enjoys luxury. Well, we figured.
Again,
emotionally intelligent and confident. Ambitious and disciplined, chivalrous and protective, family oriented and well connected. Nothing wrong with that one.
What the hell's well connected mean? Like, well connected with my family, or like I got people. Like, I can get you a hyena in less than 48 hours.
That part.
Fit, attractive, and well groomed. She also lists takes control and makes plans, keeps his word, supports my goals and lifestyle, fun, outgoing, and socially respected, prefers privacy over social media validation, loves traveling, sexually disciplined and loyal, handles pregnancy prevention,
I'm gonna come back to some
makes
of these.
Life easier, parentheses, made slash chef.
I know exactly who she's talking about.
Okay. I mean, first off, I got a lot of questions.
She's a gold digger. It's very simple.
What do you think she means by sexually disciplined? As in, I don't cheat on you?
It's that and loyal, yeah.
I don't cheat on you, or like, I'm like getting, like, I got reps or something. Like, what's she looking, what is sexually disciplined mean?
And loyal. I think it's that you're, she's the one partner, clearly.
Like that, and also,
are we misreading that?
The discipline part, maybe not.
I don't know.
She said she wants you to have,
What are we thinking, Drew?
No, so the.
I don't think she's saying just chew it and do it. I think there's more to it, Drew.
That was very good. That was a rhyme scheme right there. the way that the person who I think she's thinking of the individual. I think his name is Ashton Hall, the guy that dips his face into the cold water and everything, and puts out those videos. That's the type of individual that she wants to be with.
I gotta be honest.
Luxury, nice lifestyle, takes care of their body.
Here's part of my problem. Is like, what the hell? What does she bring into the table here?
She makes
$10,000.
Less than $10,000 a year, part-time personal trainer.
I know, but like she still wants someone to cook. She's not even doing I don't care what your relationship dynamic is, but if your desire in a relationship is like, hey, my dream one day is I want to be a stay-at-home mother. Mm-hmm. I want to be there for my kids. Well, then like I need you to do some of those things if that's the agreement. Mm. Like, she's like, well, I'd like you to have all the money to pay for everything, but I don't even want to, like, load a dishwasher.
So
I'd like the maid to also do that. You're like, well, then you're offering nothing here.
So he responded back. So he posted this screenshot on Reddit. Commenters were obviously quick to be like, the irony here, she's asking for all this, and yet, as you said, what does she bring to the table? They said, send the list back to her, watch her get mad at you for demanding so much of her. To which the original poster replied, actually, that's exactly what I did. She proceeded to tell me that she makes less than $10,000 a year as a part-time personal trainer. He added, I then invited her to my place for some casual fun and told her to bring wine. She unmatched me, and it was over from there.
I mean, you just know that's not going
to
work.
Well, yeah, he was not serious about it. The article goes on to say, to be fair, she knows what she wants. Confidence, consistency, caviar, maybe, and there's no crime in dreaming big.
Have you, have you guys heard the... are you guys familiar with Bo Burnham, the comedian,
yeah,
I assume?
Yeah.
Have you heard his song about women and just expectations?
No.
It's really probably, I don't know if we can play it. I can't remember.
Probably not.
Probably not.
But it's just like, it's essentially just like, you want this like charming, handsome, do everything for your guy. And then he's like, and you probably think that that's not real. And the song is, and it's not. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to lower your expectations, essentially. Like, this person?
How long has she been single? Is
this
what I want to know.
This person, borderline, does not exist. Maybe there's one or three. Yeah. But like, if this is everything, they make $300,000 a year, they're caring and sophisticated and loyal and all this other stuff. No offense. If you're demanding all those things, they're not interested in you.
Right.
The flip side of this is like, if they have all the things you're requesting, they're going to meet a more sophisticated person who's not demanding it. And they're going to find a better person for themselves than you.
They also might want someone that's financially stable and doing all these other things, you know?
Well, that also, it's not even all that she wants. Those are the bare minimums, correct?
True. That is true. Yeah, it did say bare minimums.
That's not even what.
Yeah, that's just the starter list.
Wants.
That's the starter list. Wait until you actually start going on multiple dates and actually get in a relationship.
I mean, this is not like knows.
Someone
what
says
you
she
want.
can sign a prenup immediately. Someone said just for the first date even.
I mean, I'll just tell you, you probably. I mean, she's making $10,000, you're making $300,000. It's probably just either relationship gold. If you're making $10,000 and you start dating somebody who's making $300,000, she should also ask for a prenup. That's too big of a pay discrepancy to not like protect yourself in some capacity. Yeah.
You haven't been in that spot where you had to sign a prenup?
No.
My
wife and I have been together for so long.
You guys didn't sign one, Drew?
No.
You guys didn't sign one?
No. I can't get over this text that says it sounds like she's just describing pink. I can't get over it. I keep on seeing it.
Oh, man.
What an outrageous list. And like, just also wake up. Like, find some dose of reality, please. That's crazy.
Someone said, this is why we sleep separately.
Oh, I know who that is texting.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out. We've met the listener.
Indeed.
Yeah, yeah. How about that? Yeah, that was so great. It turned out they're a much younger couple than I would have thought.
Yeah, no, wait. So sexually disciplined, does that mean that she
desires
sleeping
separately?
I'm
guessing that means not stepping out. She's saying like, hey, we get all this
sex. Or sex when she wants it. And basically like, it's when she wants it, not when you want it kind of thing. I don't know.
I mean, again,
I don't know.
What is the offer in this situation?
I'm not sure.
Do we know what this individual like? I'm guessing they didn't disclose that or did they
didn't seem to post that.
I don't know if he
article.
Posted a photo of her or not. I didn't see it. Yeah.
Okay. That's been a little bit of a popular thing. It's not necessarily one individual, but it seems like there's been a lot of recent like, what do you look for in a man? Like random like person on the street sort of thing. They go to like a college.
Well, that's normal
so
stuff. We've all been on dates before where that becomes a conversation. Like, hey, what are you looking for in a partner kind of thing? I've had those conversations on dates plenty of times.
I've
had people ask me that question.
In day
on
one
dates.
Or two, that's just so deep.
On the second date, yeah. Like, yeah, but I've had those conversations before. The first date be a little, but I've had those before, but nobody's crazy like this. It was never like, specifically, well, here's my list. Here you go. Somebody never said that.
Sexually disciplined, like stamina? Like maybe there's
I
like
think so.
Minimum of like, I need this many minutes. I mean, look, the list is crazy enough. I can't rule it out.
She also might be disappointed with that one, too.
No, no, no. discipline's not the right word.
60 minutes.
It wouldn't be sexual discipline. It would be sexual endurance. That would be what she meant if it was stamina related, in my opinion.
What's the most ridiculous thing in a dating situation you've heard from somebody that they're looking for out of a relationship? Ooh. That you're like, we're immediately incompatible.
So I've told you the bad date stories on the show before. I don't think it was more like the one I told you about the first date about just was never going to work immediately. And it was the shortest date of my life. The once we got to a deeper conversation, what you're describing, it was never anything like crazy, right? You might have a fundamental difference in like things that are, you know, eventually, yeah. Right. When you get serious enough, you have discussions about like, you know, religion and things like that. And that may just not be compatible or politics.
Kids or
I'll be honest, like more than ever now, one of the issues now, it didn't used to matter. It sucks that it matters now because of how, not to go way off a tangent here, but like
sure.
Now, unfortunately, political leanings when you're dating somebody matter way more than it wasn't a big deal X amount of years ago. And now it's something that both people involved actually
want similarities in. Yes.
Or usually. Yeah. So stuff like that is made it not awkward, but like it's way more part of the equation than it used to be. Unfortunately.
I don't know, man.
There it's you go. That's
crazy.
We'll lump that into the trash of the day. Yeah. We'll lump that in the trash of the day. Up next though, let's talk more about adding skill players to the offense around Patrick Mahomes and how often they have done that. Plus, you know, we got another mock draft coming here.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, yeah, it is the Chiefs Run Half Hour. Let's talk a little draft here in a little bit. I'm sure we'll have another mock draft coming our way. And could the NFL be playing games in a spot that we've never seen I don't think any of the pro leagues in this country ever play, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll get to that in just a bit. You guys can hit us up on the Jays Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Coming up a little bit later on in the show today. Again, it's a Friday. Hope you guys are having a good start to your weekend. Maybe a long weekend for some folks out there.
Outside.
Yeah, we're going to have rain for like 4 straight days or 1 to 3 inches this weekend, I think, of rain. But in the 1 o'clock hour, we'll have a little fan club Friday. Rob Collins from Fox 4 going to hang out with us. We'll talk draft. We'll talk Royals. We'll talk some golf. Have a couple drinks. We also will have a couple pairs of standing room only tickets for the Casey Current game, which is tomorrow night at CPKC Stadium when they take on the Houston Dash. So we'll have some tickets to give away in the 1 o'clock hour. But in the meantime, let's talk a little Chiefs and looking at the position that they have spent draft capital on, specifically the skill positions since Mahomes got his contract. And have they invested enough in that area? And do we think that that's going to flip this year and in the next year or so? So going back since 2021, basically, Rashee Rice was a second-round pick. They've drafted 3 wide receivers. He was one of them. Worthy, of course, last year was a first-rounder. Sky Moore, a couple years back, was a second-rounder. They've drafted 2 tight ends during this time frame, 4th-rounder and a 5th-rounder. Noah Gray, a 5th-rounder, has already got a second contract, has been a very key piece to this team, got a ton of work last year. And then Jared Wiley, who's a wild card at this point. They liked him. We all know that. But he tore his ACL, and who knows, right? Who knows what you're going to get. And then running back, they drafted 1 post-contract. That's why Clyde's not on the list. And it's Isaiah Pacheco, of course, 7th-round guy. So I've just been way better than a 7th-round pick. He's been their number one running back for multiple years on Super Bowl-winning teams.
Yeah, but it's still just a 7th-round pick. Mm-hmm. The odds of, like, and I'm not saying they didn't get a good pick. It was a good pick. But had you thrown more resources at it, none of us are saying a 1st-round pick like they did with Clyde before he was paid. I think the resources are a little too low. I think they spent some time building up that defense, and it's a very good defense. It's part of what's led them to multiple Super Bowls over the last couple of years, but you and I both think that there's more than one way to skin a cat, I guess is the phrase. And at this point, it's probably time to see whether or not you run into less problems by being an offensive power going into a Super Bowl than hoping you don't get run out of the building in a couple, which I think has happened where the offense has been a little more limited. I do think they need to spend more resources on this. This year, a running back and at least a wide receiver or tight end. I don't care which it is. But I want at least half of those top 100 picks to be on the offensive side of the ball. You can let the defense, and you spend a lot of picks over there, try to sort through that at the same time. I will say this is a bit deceiving because they also spent a 3rd training for Tony, a 3rd training for Mecole Hardman. Also, I would say, like, if you went back in time, you'd probably just draft players at those positions rather than give up those assets. But yeah, I don't know if you agree, but like, I don't think they've done enough for Mahomes in the draft sense yet. No.
Yeah, so I think draft-wise, not as much. They've definitely gone out in free agency, but through the draft, I think you would like to have seen another wide receiver and running back out of that group. I understand why they only drafted 2 tight ends during this stretch, because they still have had Travis Kelce, greatest tight end in NFL history, playing at a very high level, right? And now we might be actually seeing his last year. But it makes sense why they didn't devote resources 3 years ago to that position. There was no reason to believe any more than a 4th or a 5th rounder to devote resources, or last year a 4th rounder. So I'm good there, but I think it's wide receiver and then running back in particular. And this year, it seems like, as we've talked about the 1st round over and over for the last month plus, pick 31, defensive line or tackle. If they trade up, most people think if they trade up, it's probably for an offensive tackle, maybe a Josh Simmons if he's...
That's the rumor for Matt Miller today.
Yeah, so... Okay, well, that's not a skill position player. Doesn't mean it's a bad pick, but it's not a skill position player.
It is
so
trying to improve the offense. It just looks different, yeah.
I think out of this group, if you're wanting big numbers on the skill positions, I don't think we're going to see that this year. I think running back for sure, based on the comments from Brett Veach yesterday, they're definitely drafting a running back, whether it's the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th round, or they don't have a 5th round pick, but 2nd, 3rd, 4th, I don't know, but they're drafting one. I guess they could shock all of us and spend one in the 1st round. I'm not a fan of that.
I think it would take like Luther Burden running back, it would take... maybe Hampton. I don't think they're going to do that, right, to go in there. Yeah.
I think that, you know, the way they would attack skill position this year would be at least 1 running back, a wide receiver in a mid round, and then maybe there's another running back, or I'm kind of surprised they take a tight end, guys. Are you? I mean, do you think, knowing the tight end room, even
I think
if you
just
think
had
Kelce's
to be a guy they loved.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think it's like a must or a can do. I told you I like Loveland, or maybe they
he's
going to
be off the board way too early.
Way too early, but yeah. I like him, you know, like if we did our like Hail Mary for Chiefs draft picks, he'd probably be on the list of guys that I don't think will be in their range, but I certainly wouldn't say no if he were in that list. But like, even like you mentioned, like, does left tackle count as like helping Mahomes in the draft? If we include that, you know, like, I'll just be honest with you. They haven't done much on that department either. Since he's been paid, they spent a second on Creed Humphrey and a sixth on Trey Smith. A fifth on Kennard. And then the next draft, let's see where we get. No one in that draft. And Kingsley in the second and Norzad in the fifth. They haven't exactly gone gung-ho on finding offensive linemen there either. They have contributed significantly less resources trying to help out Mahomes on offense than they have on defense. And it doesn't, I mean, again.
They've won multiple rings during that stretch, right?
Because I do think, yeah, there's this huge caveat that you and I, anytime we talk about the Chiefs, that I think is important, which is they have gone to the Super Bowl 5 in the last 6 years. I'm not here to tell you the process is broken. I'm not trying to tear the whole thing down. And I'm not even saying, like, what you did in the past is, like, firm and that's it. I'm just saying, like, for the next year or two, now that his number has regulated closer to what the other elite quarterbacks are being paid, I'd probably spend some more time on the offensive end of the ball. And, you know, more than I feel like they have. What do you make of the Simmons stuff, by the way? Matt Miller had said in his article today that he thinks if they're trading up, he didn't say Simmons. He said a particular offensive tackle. We all think it's Simmons.
Everybody assumes it's Simmons given the injury and what the overall talent was before the injury. He said to try to trade in front of the Rams as one of the options. And you start looking, okay, who's that? It's the Vikings or the Packers. And we know the Vikings have been linked as a team that wants to trade down. They only have four picks. The Packers one's interesting because if you want to go with the same theory that you had in Kansas City, Cody, and say, are the Packers going to host the draft and not take a player in the first round? Are they willing to move back to 31? That's still taking a player in the first round if they just swap picks and the Chiefs gave them one of their third round picks to make it happen. Or do the Packers want to make that pick right there? Who knows, right? So that comes into play. But I think, yeah, if they're going to trade up, it sure feels like if they're moving up seven spots, it's for an offensive tackle. Otherwise, if they traded up, I guess, two spots, maybe it's for a different position. I'd be pretty surprised if they traded up to 24 and it was to draft a running back, or it was to draft a wide receiver, or it was to draft...
That'd be crazy. They traded up for Hampton?
I guess maybe a defensive lineman.
I think Harmon or one of those guys, maybe. I don't think it's out of the question, because that's always the question with these rumors are. Smoke screen or real, Gold? Mm-hmm. What do you think? Is it that the Chiefs are really trading up for an offensive tackle, or they're trying to make everyone think that so the defensive tackles or the wide receiver or the running back, whatever the hell they want,
slides down to them. I think they like Simmons, but I don't believe they're going to trade up to get him.
I
think that's what it would take to get him.
We're all guessing because the draft is really, particularly this year, is a mess. 10 to like 40 is one big, according to every person who really studies this thing, is like a big wash. I think Simmons is going before 20. I think what's happening here is that every half of the teams in the league did the exact same thing the Chiefs did and did their medicals. And you cannot convince me, because Simmons is one of two, I think, offensive tackles that people think really could be a left tackle in the league. And based on everything we know about desperation for left tackle, just based on the Chiefs' most recent free agent run for Jalen Moore and the pursuit of Dan Moore, anyone else, like, I don't think he's getting past 20. I think he's in the teens, late teens, but I don't even think he's getting past 20. So I don't think they have any chance at Simmons. We'll see, I guess. Maybe he gets, is it Simmons again in this mock, Drew? Just tell me now.
It is not.
Okay.
That doesn't mean it's not an Ohio State player, though.
Okay. Well, that narrows it down, actually.
I mean, does Ohio State have like 15 guys the Chiefs could take in the first two rounds? Because it seems like we've had a lot of Ohio State players.
They did win the national championship. It means they might have had some good players.
Mm-hmm. Had some talent.
They've had some good wide receivers.
It's not a wide receiver, though,
even though he's around in that range, actually.
Yeah, he is. He's like late first, mid-second.
This is from Josh Edwards over at CBS Sports. His mock is seven rounds, but we're only going to do four for time's sake.
All right.
Okay.
A name that has come up before that you guys hated, actually, is who he has taking.
Oh, no.
Donovan Jackson, interior offensive lineman from Ohio State, bounced out to play left tackle after Simmons got hurt.
Boom!
The interesting part of this, though. So he mentions the...
Taking a guard at 31. No chance. So he's nuts. Whoever this guy is.
In his description, he says it is easy to say that signing Jalen Moore to play left tackle and moving Kingsley will work out fine, but that hope is missed. But that hope is misplaced. The Chiefs may experience a slight improvement at left tackle, but they are set to incur a deep decline at left guard in going from Tooney to Suamata.
They played eight games last year without Tooney at left guard, and they weren't like a. It wasn't a mess. They went to the Super Bowl.
They definitely are going to downgrade at left guard. We all agree. Joe Tooney's not there. Nobody's arguing that.
He's number one, so it's kind of hard not to.
In the first round, taking a guard is after taking essentially a guy that now you hope is a guard in the second round last year. You're gonna, you know what I mean? Like you're that, if you take a guard in the first round, he's 100% starting at left guard. So
Simmons at 33 in this draft, Luther Burden at 36. I can't describe how mad I would be if all of those players were available and they went guard.
If they did that, that means they better become more of a running football team. And that's not going to happen, but they better become more of a running football team. They should draft a running back with their second pick after taking this guard. It means that they don't, in my opinion, then what are you doing with the Trey Smith extension at that point in time? If you're going to spend another high pick on a guard, like all that changes for me.
Yeah.
If you're wondering just what the experts Lance Zierlein say about Donovan Jackson, core power, hip flexion and hand resets, the thwart the bull rush displays above average hit and stick. Weakness.
Classic hit and stick. Okay.
Wide protection hands leave his frame wide open. You don't want that, Cody. And quicker defenders can beat him with quick wins. Well, he's playing guard, so that's not as problematic.
I mean, I guess, yeah, I don't really. I mean, I'm not saying there aren't quick players in the interior. Chris Jones will probably beat most people, but okay.
Projected. Seems first, fine. Second rounder. And his comp is Wyatt Teller.
Who do they take? I mean, Wyatt Teller's a good player, but who do they take in the second round? Does it take a running back like Gold said and we change the whole plan?
No, sir. We go to the trenches again. Joshua Farmer, defensive tackle out of Florida State. Interior defensive lineman, of course.
Okay. Again, I like interior defensive lines, so I don't have any particular issue with that overall.
You jump to the third round, pick 66, not wide receiver, not running back. It is corner.
So they've taken a guard and a corner with three of the top 66 picks.
Again, I don't think
this feels like some luxury stuff, man.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if they take a corner in the first three picks, based on what Brett Veach said yesterday.
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
Based on what he said yesterday, I could see this happening.
And who do they take with the final pick in the third round?
RJ Harvey, running back out of UCF. That's in the third round.
I told you
three guys. Cody's got three guys now.
Well, I don't want to limit myself to one. There's a lot of good running backs.
And then if you want to jump to the fourth again to go through the fourth round.
They're ranked in appropriate order.
Linebacker Barrett Carter out of Clemson with pick 133 in the fourth round. So they would go guard, defensive tackle, corner.
This is a new mock. This is a new
one. I want you to make me a promise. We got 5 days left of mock draft. Do not ever give me a mock from this guy ever again. I hate it. I don't know if he's... I'm not calling him an idiot. It's hard to say. Drafts are notoriously
Joshua
hard.
Joshua Farmer, Bink just texted me, said he mocked Joshua Farmer in the second round of the Chiefs as well.
Yeah, notoriously. That's the only pick I like, borderline. Notoriously hard.
You don't like the RJ Harvey pick?
No, I'm fine with that in the late fourth.
Joshua Farmer, hard. His story's kind of crazy.
He's taking corners and linebackers and guards of their first six picks.
The only reason you hate it, I think, is because they take the guard. If they took a corner in the first three rounds and it was let's say they went edge and then D tackle, then corner, then running back.
You're correct.
It's the aggregate, though. It's all together. They're ignoring major issues till too late.
It's taking the guard in the first round. For Joshua Farmer in the second round, who Bink also has in the second round, as a second-round talent. Weakness listed as unable to maintain gap integrity, lacks foot quickness, lethargic to shed and tackle in the gaps. Pros for him, gets off the ball into blocks with good pad level, size and strength to muddy the middle. His story is actually kind of sad. You know how we've joked about like the family connection stuff for college?
Yeah, the like collegiate
stuff. This one's
stuff,
really, really sad that they put in here. I guess his father passed away when he was 2 from internal bleeding after stomach surgery. His mother passed away when he was 11 from a brain aneurysm.
Oh, man. So
that's
including
crazy,
this
man.
Stuff in the draft profile. Like, this is was it ESPN a year or two ago?
ESPN, man.
Was going through.
That was wild, some of the graphics they were putting up for that stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't even like they were just in the reports.
They were just like talking,
screen.
Like telling someone's mom was a drug addict and stuff. It was crazy.
Was yeah, this is.
Lance, be cool,
sad
man.
Stuff on Joshua Farmer. Goodness.
Yeah, I'm not against...
Like, why does it list he has 6 older siblings? What's the relevance of that? That he... the leadership? What are we going for here?
A lot of stuff.
I told you. I don't know what they're doing with some of these profiles.
I get the athletic mention of their parents being athletes.
I have five older siblings. Does that make me better at being a radio host or athlete or something?
Know.
I'm a terrible athlete.
I don't know.
This is an interesting one, a part of this mock as well. He has Tyler Warren going 22 to the Chargers.
You know, I like Warren.
If he's available,
22, you said?
If he's available at 21, it's
the mock draft. You take a guard out of Ohio State to the Chiefs at 31, and it's hard for us to take the rest seriously. That's all.
Where does he have Loveland going? Does he have him going before Warren?
Let's see. If anything, that would follow he actually does. He has Colson Loveland going 14.
Okay, I do retract a previous statement. I do know this guy's an idiot.
Well, hang on a second.
What is
you
this
You said that Colson Loveland was as good as Tyler Warren.
You're the one that said that. That is true.
But
you
no
did
one,
say that.
I do believe that, but no one thinks he's going ahead of Warren.
But Warren...
Let's use some common sense
hang
here.
Hang on a second. You said he's as good as Warren, but if we look at previous mock drafts, the disparity is Warren going about 14 to the Colts and Colson Loveland going about 22 to the Chargers. It's been the same. You're just flipping the players.
I agree with his assessment of who's better than the other. I do not agree with his assessment of who is going ahead of another. Those are different conversations. I actually do agree that Loveland is, I believe he will be just as good as a pro as Ty Warren. I could be disproved on this so quick.
This guy's name is Josh Edwards or Jake Edwards?
Josh Edwards. We've done a mock before.
He's off the board. I don't want any more from Josh Edwards.
But Chris Trapasso is okay still? I just want to make sure.
Yeah, we like to support his wife's Etsy business. If it's still going, okay. Can I get a second mock draft now? I need a palate cleanser. Do you have a second one just handy? Can I get like a Chris Trapasso or something? Can you give me a palate cleanser? Play the sounder again and give me a new one.
You know what? If you want to, we can go ahead and do that because I have a Trapasso one for
Josh Edwards tweeted out right before this mock draft. Submitted my 7-round mock draft. You all are going to hate it. Well, he's right.
Do you really want me to do another? Because this is Trapasso's.
Yeah, give me a new one. Give me Chris Trapasso's. New sounder. Palate cleanser.
Trapasso.
Give me our guy Chris Trapasso.
Okay,
you know?
So the part that's going to be funny about this is his mock draft is a what I would do mock. This is a what I would do mock.
He's not saying this is what he thinks would happen. Oh boy, this is going to run into a whole other problem.
I was going to say this is going to make it very interesting. He
what
has,
I would do mock.
First things first, he has Ashton Jeanty going 20 to the Broncos. Anyways, let's move on to the Chiefs at 31.
Wait, so he would just not... Damn, he's got Jeanty down to 20?
I'm just telling you.
This might not be the palate cleanser I was hoping for.
This is what Trapasso would do, Mike. Okay. Braden Swinson, edge rusher out of LSU, going to the Chiefs at 31.
That's a new name for us.
It is a new name, I believe, for the first round. I think second round he's been mocked before. That was earlier on.
Okay.
Braden Swinson.
Yeah, that is a new name. I like a new name.
I don't think we've discussed Braden on the show before.
Can you give us a scouting report?
B-R-A-D-Y-N. Braden.
He has Tyler Warren.
I mean, anybody named 20, there's probably a lot of Bradens.
Braden Swinson, you wanted a quick... So he is projected to be a round 3-4 pick, so I don't understand that.
I was going
to
say, it's a little bit...
That makes no sense.
Based on the mocks, it's a little bit high.
Okay.
Says he, basketball stutter steps, can tilt blocker and open an edge, sheds to tack with active hands, negatives, ducks head and leads with helmet into contact, hasn't created a cohesive outside rush attack, fatigues in his fist fights against bigger players.
You want to know
this mock? This what I would do mock is wild. If you look at the other picks,
what else? What else?
Tyler Warren going 29 to the Commanders.
No chance.
He's got Luther Burden going sixth.
No chance.
He's got Luther Burden going sixth overall.
And I get it. He's doing what he would do.
He's got Ursary going 13th. He's got Josh Simmons going 16th. This pick, this one's crazy.
No, I forgot.
Well, I sure hope that Etsy, I hope his wife's Etsy shop is bringing in big time money for our family, because this is not a good sign.
Because he's in the prediction game.
I think Trapasso is banned as well, because I saw this on, this was circling the rounds on social media. Do you see who he has selecting 10th, the Bears selecting?
Who?
Jack Beck, wide receiver from TCU.
What?
So, that being said.
Was this just trying to get clicks, mock drafts?
I think it was. So, I didn't know that this was his. I did dead serious. Didn't know that this was his. This has been a screenshot of the Bears taking Beck.
Bink just texted me. You want me to read Bink's tweet or text?
Yes,
I just got.
Bink, I'm reading this. Bink, I'm reading this. Give me a third one.
Bink, I'm reading this one on air. He won't be mad. He says, Trapasso sucks. He wanted to charge me to come on.
Okay, so from now on, we are hang on. Going forward,
in fairness, we learned that about Trapasso the last time we tried to book him.
Going forward from now on, even into next year, are we not doing CBS mocks because of Josh Edwards and Chris Trapasso, who are the main two guys that come out with mocks?
I mean, this mock draft is truly just like literally clicking on random names.
It's egregiously bad.
I mean, did you just like get a dartboard of the top 100 PFF ranked guys and just say?
Next Thursday, we're doing a live mock draft on this show. I know that.
He has a mega Aguga going after Jack Beck. We're done here.
I'm going to need, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying, I might need a third mock draft. I thought that was going to be the palate cleanser. I'm not even getting a.
That's awful.
Let's do one when, if you want to do another one, we'll do one when Rob Collins comes
okay.
up.
Okay.
If you want.
I'd rather just, like, honestly, like, at this point, we might as well just have a listener give us a mock draft today, you know? That's it.
Like, I mean, if they're going to look like this, I might as well, yeah, just like, if you're a listener and you want your mock draft read, get on a PFF simulator in the next, like, 30 minutes and send it over to Lance, Drew.
So. We did do
on
one.
So, and social media. Media, and we'll choose that over the current CBS ones we're getting.
Take a screenshot and then DM me or Alex or Cody, and we'll use it.
Why not over on Twitch? Says he'll send one over. Let's just fine. The Twitch mock. Send me over a mock because these last two. This is someone said this does not cleanse my palate. It feels like just spooning another pile of poop.
This is effectively worse.
We're running out of time, but I wanted to real quick. You guys see the update? The NFL is considering playing games in the Middle East. You see this?
It's kind of crazy. I mean, obviously, Live and some of these other
Dubai, golf. Abu Dhabi have been brought up. We know they're playing everywhere else. I think the Commanders and the Rams already have marketing rights to Qatar, I think it is. So, look, I guess we'd be silly to naive almost to think that one day that's not going to happen. This was always.
I just didn't think the NFL would go. The money is green so fast. Because let's be clear, that's the only reason why. Like, you're not interested in like. Growing that market. Typically the way it's
working
with other sports leagues
up.
Is that it's just but they it's not are. Taking the check.
No, but they are trying to, I mean, both, right? Like they want the check, but why wouldn't they want to grow the market there? I mean, it's both. They already had literally marketing agreements with the Commanders, with the Rams and one other franchise, I forget, that has the rights, just like the Chiefs have the rights to Spain and Germany, Ireland and a few others. That there's a few teams that have the rights to that. There's plenty of money in some of those countries, too.
The NFL is becoming Formula One. They go to Brazil, F1 goes to Brazil. They go to Mexico City, F1's in Mexico City.
They've
Germany,
already said they'll be in
F1's
like the Pacific
London,
area
Australia.
And Australia. Australia is already on, in the docket, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
For the
that's
NFL. Right. Maybe they are just, you might be right. They might just be following the exact F1 model as far as like the countries in which they're trying to be in. You know what? I wouldn't be surprised to see the Chiefs there. Like, if they go there, the Chiefs might be the first game there. Clark Hunt has already agreed essentially to be the guinea pig for the overseas stuff. He has always been a big proponent
of those three. One of those three teams that already had the marketing agreement
would
be the host team, the home team. The question is, what's the
schedule? You said Commanders, right?
They are one of them. Yeah.
Jane Daniels, Mahomes. I like that.
Yeah. Again, this is something that might be a couple years away, but yeah, it could work.
I mean, the NFL is trying to supercharge their growth. I'll say that. They have decided that they want to be a worldwide sport, and the only way to do that is to put themselves in every country in the world. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's going to work or not,
but
like
trying to find new.
This
revenue
is also
streams,
why they're trying
man.
To push everybody to 18 games and everything else. What's funny about like the revenue stream stuff is always funny. Is like the NFL already prints money.
Yeah, right? but no business operates and says, "Well, we've printed enough money. No more. No reason to expand." I mean, that's just business. Though I have no problem with that. Like just because you have a business that is making good money. Doesn't mean you're not trying to go make more money. So anyway, we'll see what happens over the next year or so. Up next, we will get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold and talk more about the Royals, the offensive struggles, in a different way even last night.